message today entitled, What is God Like? I guess I've preached on this before. Pretty sure I have, but the Lord dealt with me again to speak on this particular subject today, and I hope to teach you, and you have your Bibles handy there, and get your Bible out, and act like you're in class with me today. Sorry to say this morning. It's got in the afternoon now. But get your Bibles out and follow along with me. You want the Word of God to bless you. Praise God. He sent His Word to bless you, to heal you. And that's why we still have our old good book, the Bible. So let's take it and use it and let it be a part of our love and something we cling to and cherish. Use it. Praise God. Where's your Bible, Brother Jim? You got it? Okay, you better. All right. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the message I'll be teaching on today is entitled, What is God Like? From Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 28, Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Ha! You can't find out God's ability. You just kind of get a little estimation of it by what you see evidences and manifestations of in nature and so forth. All right, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, what does the Bible say here? God saying, even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall utterly fall. It's young men that will not listen to God's word. And you prove that in Amos, the 8th chapter, in verse 13. That, now, you want to check it out. I'd like for you to check out things here to see if I'm right, because I'm teaching as well as preaching. Now, turn with me to Amos, the 8th chapter, in verse 13. In verse 11, it says, There's going to be a famine in the land for hearing the word of God. Now, in verse 13, it says, In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst, because they don't find the word of God. They find pleasure. They find exotic entertainment. They find all kinds of exercises into learning and training and making money and developing skills, but they don't find the word of God. Therefore, the prophecy says they'll faint for thirst. It says it in two of the prophets right there that I showed you. So that certainly establishes it as a very prophetic doctrine that's profitable for us here in this end time. That if you don't seek and lay hold upon the word of God and nourish yourself with it, that you'll faint and be weary, and you will utterly fall if you don't make the Word of God the source of your inspiration and strength. All right, what will you liken God to? Verse 25, To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? What are you going to liken me to? A God such as we have, in verse 15 in this chapter, said, Behold, the nations are as a drop of the bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance, and the isles is a little thing. In verse 17, all nations before him is as nothing, and they're counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. Verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Ah, Lord, you think about God and His greatness. And, of course, this is Old Testament stuff, as its terminology is usually applied to it by most people. But the thing about it is also New Testament stuff. The New Testament reveals much about the character and the personality of God. Jesus said in John 4:24, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in the flesh. You get in the spirit. That's what I've been trying to do here all the morning. Get us in the spirit of worship. Because you don't do it with your mouth. You don't do it with your hands and your feet. You do it with your heart. These only come out and manifest the flow of worship in spirit that proceeds in the heart. It must come from the heart for God to honor it. There's a scripture in the Bible too that tells us that God is not a man. You ever read that? Numbers 23:19. God is not a man. He is not a man. He is spirit. But that doesn't mean he's like a vapor coming out of a kettle of hot water that's boiling. That he's something that is like a mirage or something that is indiscriminate. Something you can't fathom. Something that has no distinct shape or form or manifestation of being. Even though God is a spirit. It didn't say God is spirit. God is a spirit. A distinct spirit. Set apart from all other spirits in this universe, of which there are billions and billions of spirits, including the one that's inside of you and me. Now, we're spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. And we know that Jesus Christ himself was made in the likeness of men, and he's still a man at the right hand of God. But he has a spiritual body. But the Bible tells us plainly that God is a spirit, but he is not spirit. He is a spirit. That means he is certainly possesses being and personality that sets him apart from all the other spirits, the Holy Spirit and Christ and Lucifer and all the angels that are spirits. In the book, the first chapter of Hebrews, the Bible said God made his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That's angels. They're spirits. The world about us, if God would open our eyes, would have many more spirits than there are human forms that our eyes would behold. There are many more spirits. Some of them are good spirits. Some of them are bad spirits. Some of them help us. Some of them try to hinder us and to destroy us. And we thank God for those good spirits, which are ministering spirits. According to the last two verses of Hebrews 1, that tells us angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for us that are heirs of salvation. So, when Elijah was in distress, or his servant was, because the king of Syria had him surrounded in a city back, as you read this great event in the book of 2 Kings, and there you find that he was distressed, and he said, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" When God, through the intercession of Elisha, prevailed and said, "Lord, open the young man's eyes that he may see what I see." And behold, the whole mountain range was full of chariots and horses of fire all around Elijah, or Elisha and his servant. So there, if we could see the spirit world, it probably would make us start running and try to find somewhere to hide. Even if we could see God, if we could see the presence of God and know that God is watching us all the time. He never sleeps. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God don't get sleepy. That's something we can't understand. How in the world can somebody not get sleepy? Well, when the resurrection of the just, you and I will have a body like Christ, and we won't get sleepy either. We'll be like our organist, Brother Jim, show up late on Sunday morning, oversleep. Oh, Lord. When his soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, he won't get sleepy no more. Wonderful. He'll show up when it's time to play that harp of gold, perhaps 1,000 strings. He'll sing and shout and dance about, and the Lamb will dry his tears. He'll have a grand homecoming week, the first 10,000 years. Praise the Lord. All right. What is God like? Let me read you some scripture here that I think is very important here to understand God. And that's in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, while we're real close to it. It's a very nice place to land upon. Isaiah 45 and beginning in verse 5. "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else."